Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Given the fact that it's all over, and we know what it is, the election, our new president. And we congratulate all those who ran, some who won, some who did win. But I guess we're all winners in the end. But there's an article in the Chicago Sun-Times written by Rich Roper, a very talented writer, entitled, Finally, No More Campaign Pain. And Rich writes, one of the great joys of waking up on the days after an election is the realization you will not be bombarded with robocalls, emails from millionaires begging for money, or those hideously amateurish campaign ads. No more TV spots with the ominous tinkling piano music, the black and white photos of the opposing candidate and the narrator telling us, Carl candidate says he's for people, but he's actually against people. Carol candidate says he wants to lower your taxes, but the record proves he will break into your home and steal your most valued possessions. Carol candidate claims to be an American, but if that's the case, what was he doing vacationing in Canada last year? Maybe he was visiting his relatives or even his place of birth. Do you want someone like that as your assistant recorder of deeds for the county? Well, at least we can all say goodbye to celebrities using social media to remind us to vote. If you weren't going to vote until some actress from your favorite CW series urged you to vote, maybe you should just have stayed home. The Drudge Report, telling us 12 people showed up for an Obama rally, but 50 kabillion people showed up for a Romney rally. Bruce Springsteen, born in New Jersey, sounding like he's from Oklahoma as he shares the stage with the president. Don't get me wrong, I love the boss, but I just can't figure out how guys like Springsteen and Bob Dylan, who was born in Minnesota, wind up sounding like they're from the Dust Bowl. Singers from Oklahoma never sound like they're from Jersey. Donald Trump, America's buffoon, confusing big news with publicity stunt. Oh, wait, that pattern of behavior isn't going to end with the election, is it? All that focus on Big Bird. And we could say goodbye to rock stars sending letters to candidates asking them not to use their songs as campaign anthems. Candidates still not getting that if you're going to use a song as a campaign anthem, you should check with the artist beforehand to see if it's cool, lest you be embarrassed when they come out against you and say they'd rather jump off a 50-foot stage and break both legs than hear you corrupting the meaning of their song. We can also say goodbye to the Fox News Channel saying fair and balanced, which translates to, we think you're idiots if you believe we're fair and balanced. Or how about the undecideds? Okay, we get it. You're carefully vetting each candidate before making your informed decision. By the way, the election's over. Are you still trying to make up your mind? We can also say goodbye to liberals getting all worked up because actress Stacey Dash endorsed Romney. Folks, Ms. Dash is most famous for supporting role in a 1995 movie and proposing nude for Playboy in 2006 when she was 40. She announced her support for Romney by wearing a cleavage-clinging red top while standing in front of a giant American flag. That there was a fury over Dash's endorsement is just embarrassing. Not for Dash, but for anyone who got all worked up over it. Ohio, getting all worked up over itself with newspaper headlines such as, it's all about us. Yes, that's because you're like Kevin Costner in Swing Vote. If you'd make up your mind early like California and Texas and New York, you wouldn't be such a big deal. And we can also say goodbye to fact-checking the fact-checkers who checked the facts that weren't so factual. Of course, accuracy is paramount. But if both sides are constantly telling us everything the other guy said is false, how can we help but not believe anybody? Rich Roper, finally, no more campaign pain. Yeah, well, it is over. And if your people that you supported got in, congratulations. And if the people you supported didn't, let's hope there is a bipartisan, or at least a new bipartisan mentality that people can take with the next 4 years and get something done, work on our economy, work on the things that matter, education, infrastructure, jobs, jobs and jobs, right? It should help. I want to make sure I mention this for our good friend Ann Fink over at Carol Fox. The Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra opens its 2012-2013 season with a concert by the organization's 123-member symphony orchestra at Chicago's Orchestra Hall, 220 South Michigan, Sunday, November 11th at 7:30. Under the baton of music director Alan Tinkham, the orchestra will perform works by renowned French composers Saint-Saëns, Fauré, Poulenc, and Claude Debussy. The concert will feature the voices of Roosevelt University's CCPA Conservatory Chorus and Chorale for three movements, and also feature coloratura soprano Elizabeth Norman. The program is a collection of works performed out of chronological order, capturing the moments in music history when music increasingly loosened itself from certain parameters, such as classical Western tonality, formal structure, public opinion, and even time. We are thrilled to have the Chicago College of the Performing Arts at Roosevelt University and conductor Cheryl Frazes Hill join us for what promises to be an unforgettable evening of music, says the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra music director Alan Tinkham. Very honored to be on the board of the CCPA, and they're very honored to be part of the evening with the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra. Of course, if you want to listen to some great music by Debussy, listen to Clair de Lune. Just terrific. Or Lemaire, too. Or any of his water music. The Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra has earned an international reputation as a premier orchestral ensemble featuring extraordinary young musicians from the Chicago area. And the musicians are from all over the Chicagoland area. Addison and Antioch and Arlington Heights and Burr Ridge and Crystal Lake and Downers Grove and Naperville and Olympia Fields, Orland Hills, Orland Park, Wheaton, Willowbrook, Wilmette, Winnetka. And in fact, our good friend Bob O'Sullivan's son is part of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra. Alan Tinkham was appointed music director of the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra in 2001. Under his direction, the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra has performed at Orchestra Hall, Millennium Park, Ravinia, Carnegie Hall, and several international locales as well. This past September, the CYSO accompanied actor Justin Timberlake during his welcome as a Team USA ambassador of the Ryder Cup and also performed the music for the famous Ryder Cup procession of the American and European teams and dignitaries. During Alan Tinkham's tenure, the CYSO has won 8 of its 11 ASCAP National Awards for Adventurous Programming of Contemporary Music, as well as 4 Illinois Council of Orchestra Awards. A great group of people, ages 7 through 18, and public schools, programs in all the schools, and a great way for the kids to get the feel of a great symphony orchestra. For information, for tickets, call 312-294-3000. And be a great evening with the symphony at Orchestra Hall, November 11th, Sunday, 7:30. Again, 294-3000. Of course, our good pal, we ran into Pam Rose at the Whole Foods last week, and she was certainly sharing all her goodies with all the shoppers there. And, of course, for Thanksgiving, she has a great selection. And upcoming Christmas, of course, my studio producer, Josh, can attest to that, who will be in the studio here when Christmas time comes around, we'll have her in and talk a little bit about what she has, and she'll bring some of the great cupcakes. But swirls, because cupcakes make people happy. The Thanksgiving trio of pecan pie, pumpkin pie, and apple pie cupcakes. And they're all available in gluten-free and vegan gluten-free. So if you want to get your cupcakes, you can order or pick them up until Wednesday, November 21st, the day before Thanksgiving. They'll be closed on Thanksgiving, of course. But for information, 773-404-2253. Located right at 705 West Belden, right around the corner from the old Children's Memorial Hospital. And just great cupcakes. Best cupcakes in Chicago, without a doubt. Pam Rose mentioned our name because Pam's just terrific. Last week we were talking, of course, with our pal Tim Ritter, the executive director of the Paramount Theater. Tell us all the great shows that are coming up. Of course, Grease just closed, but Annie is coming up November 21st through December 30th, directed by Rachel Rockwell. One of the classic musicals of all time. And past that is Rachel will also be directing The Music Man, Meredith Wilson's great musical from January 16th through February 3rd. And the season will close out in March with Fiddler on the Roof. Jim Cordy, who is the artistic director of Paramount Theater, will be directing that. It should be a great evening in the theater. Coming up this weekend, Olivia Newton-John at 8 o'clock. Chicago's comedy tour will be coming in. And around the holidays, the Second City Dysfunctional Holiday Review from the 13th to the 23rd in December. Under the Street Lamp, we'll celebrate New Year's Eve at the Paramount with our good pal Michael Ingersoll and his group. And January 4th, Saturday, January 4th, 8, Bill Shatner with Shatner's World, We Just Live in It. So that should be a lot of fun. This week coming up, we have, of course, the kickoff for the DePaul University's women's basketball program at DePaul. And it's always a great evening. For information, give DePaul's athletic department a call. Ask for Sue Dillon or Thad Dorn, and he'll give you all the information. Skyfall, one of the great Bond movies, or at least that's what we've been told so far. That should be a big opening and certainly a great time in the theater. The movie theater. And we'll have fun doing that. Some very talented people on the show today. A gentleman who's from Chicago and is starring in the new musical Sister Act at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Mel Abston, and he'll be on. We'll be chatting with him. Of course, from the great movie with Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg produces this new musical of Sister Act. And we'll be talking to Gail Calver, who's the executive director of the River North Chicago Dance Company and their 2012-2013 season, their fall engagement, which is also a celebration of Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary. It's coming up November 15th, 16th, and 17th. So a lot of things going on in Chicago. Certainly, as we're starting to say goodbye to the warm weather, of course, we had a couple warm days here, but I think it's going to start to get a little chillier. The morning we get up, we expect to look out the window and see some snow. Not yet, please. Not yet, please. But we're going to play a little music from Ramsey Lewis's CD, The Millennium Collection. It's a song by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Beautiful song. Titled Julia. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Ramsey Lewis and Lennon and McCartney's Julia were back on the Kevin Moore Show. Broadway in Chicago and producers Whoopi Goldberg, Stage Entertainment, and Troika Entertainment are thrilled to announce the North American tour of five-time Tony Award-nominated musical Sister Act, starring Chicago actress Hollis Resnick as Mother Superior and Taria Campbell as Dolores Van Cartier. Sister Act will play the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, 50 East Congress Parkway, November 13th through December 2nd. To hear people laugh and cheer the way they do at Sister Act, a show people think they know but are pleasantly surprised to discover is not what they were expecting, is a magical experience for a producer, says producer Whoopi Goldberg. Happily, audiences across the country will be able to get in on the fun this fall when Dolores and her fabulous sisters start spreading the love nationwide. Sister Act received 5 2011 Tony Award nominations for Best Musical, Best Original Score, Best Book of a Musical, Best Actress in a Musical, and Best Feature Actress in a Musical. When disco diva Dolores Van Cartier witnesses a murder, she is put in protective custody in the one place cops are sure she won't be found. A convent. Disguised as a nun, she finds herself at odds with both the rigid lifestyle and an uptight mother superior. Using her fabulous disco-ness and killer voice to inspire the choir, Dolores breathes new life into the church, but in doing so, blows her cover. Soon it's nun on the run time, but she finds salvation in the heavenly power of her newly found sisterhood. Based on the mega-hit feature film Sister Act, features an original Alan Menken Glenn Slater score with a vast inspiration of musical styles from Motown, soul, and funk to great big disco anthems and Barry White-inspired musical comedy. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, having been seen on TV in Grey's Anatomy, Ghost Whisperer, Raising Hope, and Chuck. On stage in the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee in Memphis, Second City and improv performer, Broadway star, proud Chicago actor hailing from the western suburbs, and now one of the stars in the Tony Award-nominated musical Sister Act at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, November 13th through December 2nd, Mr. Melvin Epstein. Mel, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Good afternoon to you.
Well, it's great to have you, and congratulations on coming back to your hometown to enjoy a little musical theater.
Oh, yeah, that and some sausages and fish pizza, all those different Chicago.
You can't get that on the road, right?
No, you can't.
Well, of course, this is one of the great movies of all time, one of the great musicals, but certainly one of the great comedies of all time. And have you had the opportunity to meet with Whoopi Goldberg on the play?
Absolutely. She's been very hands-on in terms of production. She's shown up a few times during rehearsals, unannounced, and doesn't like the whole I'll come in and the whole room turns its attention towards me. She wants to see how the progress of the production is going. She will hold court when she likes to, but then likes to be very hands-off and is strictly a producer, and then, of course, comes in just to lend her support. And to see her come in, it's a thrill any and every time she has.
Well, she's very down to earth, and she sees herself just like you, another actor, and this is how you express yourself, and she knows what it's like because she's been on the stage or in TV or in movies.
Absolutely. In fact, before we left New York for rehearsal, she gave us some private and very practical advice in terms of while being on the road, and it induced a few belly laughs, but it was a very sincere piece of advice, which is basically just take care of yourself while on the road. Don't do anything you shouldn't do because we're needed to be on stage as opposed to being bailed out, as it were.
Well, your mother told you the same thing, though, Melvin.
Oh, absolutely. Just a few more explicatives and a finger wagging here and there.
Well, for our listeners, maybe you better than I, tell us a story about Sister Act if they haven't seen it.
It's a very similar premise to what they have in the movie. The difference, obviously, is once Dolores makes her way from witnessing the crime, she's, of course, taken to the police station, and then they hide her in the convent. From that moment, she discovers that there is a choir within the convent itself. She lends her talents, as it were. The only difference is, as opposed to using a lot of the Motown music that you find in Sister Act, the movie, musical delves into brand new music, disco themed, a lot of the small licks within music. Some disco and 70s music lovers will find some familiarity. That's where some of the differences kind of deviate from the movie going into the musical. The musical, of course, has dancing and singing, and spends a little time away from the convent with the gentleman that is actually looking for Dolores to silence her, and there are some fun musical moments with that as well.
You remember the movie, and the movie was such fun, and of course, Kathy Najimy plays Sister Mary Patrick, who becomes Dolores Van Cartier's pal, and it's amazing because when it came out, and I can attest to this because my own kids were the same way, and having been educated by the nuns, I know how tough they can be.
Yes, and I went to Catholic school for a year as well.
Well, there you go. And so you know what it's like. And they have fun doing it, and it brings out a whole different energy that the church didn't have before. Of course, the pastor of the parish signs on for it, but Mother Superior doesn't necessarily.
Absolutely. She is more of a tradition-oriented nun and takes it very, very seriously. She tends to do things with more of a solemn, understated tone, and of course disco in the 70s or anything other than understated or tame, if you will. I remember the 70s well. So with that, just a little infusing the message that is still within the church, but doing it through the means of the music, which brings people in the community around and involves them as well.
You know, it was such a fun movie, and it was interesting, doing a little research, that Bette Midler was supposed to be first offered the role for
Dolores. Absolutely.
Right, right. And then, of course, Whoopi took it and ran with it, and then when you look back at it, nobody could have done it better than she did.
That's the one thing that you know about a definitive performance. If someone puts their thumbprint on it, no one else could possibly touch it. And it's absurd to think that someone else could have been after the fact.
Sure, sure. And, of course, Hollis Resnick, one of Chicago's great actresses, is in it as Sister Superior. She's been in Les Mis and certainly Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Must be fun acting with her.
Oh, it's so good to be with Hollis. Being a Chicagoan myself and admiring her work for years, first rehearsal, I remember we caught eyes across the room and kind of fought through people and made our way and had a good little catching up chit-chat session. So it's really good. Interestingly enough, our dear Hollis left on a Sunday after the show so she could attend the Jeffs on a Monday, found out that she won, and me being the big fan that I am, I went and spread all the news throughout the cast, and she returned to a bunch of people surrounding and clapping for her. It was a very, very warm and loving scene.
Well, you're going to have a lot of people clapping for you because your mom and dad are still here. You have family and friends certainly here. You've done such great work at the Goodman Theater and the Northlight Theater and Apple
yeah.
Tree Black Ensemble Theater and so forth. It must be fun to come back under that kind of situation.
It always is. I was fortunate enough to be a part of one of the tours of The Lion King, which originated in Chicago, and there was a handful of Chicago performers who had done that. After leaving Chicago, we came back during the summer, I believe, of 2004, and people were still excited to see the show, and people were still excited to see representatives from their Chicago theater community on the big stage, if you will. So to come back home yet again, there's nothing like home.
You know, you talk about The Lion King, Melvin, and when you remember theater, you go to theater, you remember different parts of theater and so forth. The opening sequence of The Lion King, when all the animals are marching in the theater, it's probably one of the most memorable times in musical theater I've ever experienced. I'm sure other people have felt the same way. You get goosebumps when you think about it. To be part of that, it must have been something.
It was quite humbling. Again, to go from, at the time, the largest stage that I was on was the Goodman or up in Skokie at Northlight or even down at Navy Pier. But then to have a production value like The Lion King, like Disney's theatrical, behind and backing and supporting and bringing talent not just from within Chicago but across the country and then around the planet, literally people from South America, from Brazil, from Europe, from South Africa, from Canada, just to have an elite group of talented, passionate actors, dancers, and singers, and those are your peers, that's now your peer group.
Right.
And to be representing Chicago within the confines of a group of performers like that, it was absolutely humbling. Probably one of my proudest moments as a professional actor. I get a little choked up when thinking about it because it was an emotional time.
No, you should. You should be very proud of it. Now, we talked a little earlier. You were an athlete, of course, and then you turned to the theater. And as you were developing, or of course you still are developing your repertoire, your style, and so forth, who were some of the actors you looked up to from the standpoint of emulating or mentoring or so forth?
Wow. I'll just say with Chicago theater, with staying away from L.A. and New York and Hollywood, all that stuff, I've had an opportunity to work with some of the greats in Chicago, Philip Van Leer. I've worked with a couple times, and he's kind of a big brother presence. The late, great Tab Baker, whom most Chicagoans have seen one way or another, be it on film and television, or if they had an opportunity to see him on stage, an absolute force of nature. Directors, I've had the privilege to work with Chuck Smith and Jackie Taylor, also with Keith Glover out at Northlight. There's just an endless list of people that either I've worked with or I've crossed paths with. Some have actually been on your show. Russ Tutterow Chicago Dramatist, and Mark David Kaplan and John Weir. We worked together in Lion King. Larry Yando, who's another Chicago staple. We all did Lion King together.
Right.
And the list just goes on and on. Ife Butler, Felicia Fields, these are all people whom I've had pleasure and privilege to share stages with and to just kind of sit and watch them do things. And, of course, feel.
Sure.
As any good actor will do when given an opportunity.
Well, those same people you look at, now young people are looking at you and say, sometime I want to be up on the stage, be just like Melvin Epstein. That'd be terrific.
That's a wow. It's funny how perspective works. It's always interesting when the focus is back on you, but absolutely would welcome that, because that new energy is going to bring some new responses from you as an actor. It keeps you fresh and relevant, and, you know, if you're not, working.
How long are you in the tour at Sister Act?
I am in it until right now. We have dates up and into 2013.
Oh boy, great!
And yeah, we're going to be after Chicago. We will hit the state of Florida for about 5 weeks. We go up the Eastern Seaboard, and then we're going to be in and out and throughout the country. All, like I said, between now and the foreseeable future, at least until 2013.
That's great. Well, you'll be very busy. You got to come and visit us again one of these days. And certainly, I know you're going to be on a stage on Sunday night, but I know you're going to be taping the Bears game.
Oh, I have been every Sunday. I show up to work in either a Bears T-shirt or a Bears sweatshirt. There are a couple guys in the dressing room who are into fantasy football, and we always talk about their fantasy teams and then my actual team. And so the Bears. Yeah, I'm diehard.
Yeah, they're doing well this year, and it'll be an interesting game against Houston because 2-7-1 teams will be playing against each other, and it'll be very interesting. So, really, a test of their ability.
To not losing my voice.
You got to be careful.
Absolutely.
Broadway in Chicago and producers Whoopi Goldberg, Stage Entertainment, and Troika Entertainment are thrilled to announce the North American tour of 5-time Tony Award-nominated musical Sister Act, starring Chicago actress Hollis Resnick as Mother Superior, Taria Campbell as Dolores Van Cartier, and our Chicago pal Melvin Epstein. Sister Act will play at the Auditorium Theater Roosevelt University, 50 East Congress Parkway, November 13th through December 2nd. On the line with us right now is one of the stars of Sister Act, Melvin Epstein. Mel, a pleasure to chat with you, and certainly if people want to get some information about what you're doing, I know you have a website. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. Very simple. It's just my name, melvinepstein.com. Just put the www in front, and you'll be able to see little bits of me, some behind-the-scenes photos from different projects and such that I've worked on, and then what I'm currently working on right now, which is the aforementioned Sister Act. And Kevin, thank you so much for having this venue so that we can talk with our city and get them out informed about different things. It's a it's a service what you do, and it is appreciated.
Well, you're very welcome, and when I'm talking with such gentlemen like yourself, it's just a joy to do. I'm going to give a phone number for the for people who would like tickets, 800-775-2000. I'm going to see you next week at the opening. I'm looking forward to that, and dancing in the aisles.
We'll make room for you.
Thank you, my pal.
Thank you, good sir.
Take care, Mel.
You too. Bye-bye.
Melvin Epstein, one of the stars of Sister Act. What a gentleman. And certainly a very talented Chicago actor, now doing work on Broadway throughout the country. And, boy, he's traveling a lot, as he said, through 2013 and Sister Act. And it's going to be a hit all over the country, Florida, up the East Coast. Maybe he should be starting in the East Coast, go down to Florida for the winter. But certainly what a fun time talking with him, and it's great to have a guy from Chicago who's so talented, and other people in the country seeing that and realizing. So if you have the opportunity, again, it's November 13th through December 2nd at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University on Michigan Avenue, just off of Congress. For information, 800-775-2000. Well, we're going to jump back to our music of Ramsey Lewis, his Millennium Collection. This is a song, currently one of his big, I think this has kind of put him on the map, one of his big hits. It was a Grammy Award-winning gold record. It was recorded at the Bohemian Cavern in Washington, D.C., live back in 1965. One of the great jazz sounds for Chicago, entitled The In Crowd. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Ramsey Lewis, the In Crowd. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. River North Dance Chicago kicks off the 2012-2013 season with two world premieres, November 16th and 17th, for their fall engagement. The critically acclaimed River North Dance Chicago leaps into fall with their November 16th and 17th engagement at the Harris Theater, introducing new work by Adam Baruch and Nayla Yetkin. The company, including four new members, performs a program filled with stunning athleticism and theatrical choreography. In conjunction with the fall engagement, River North Dance Chicago celebrates artistic director Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary with their Momentum 2012 Gala, featuring a performance at the Harris, followed by a festive evening of cocktails, dinner, and dancing at the Fairmont Chicago. I am thrilled to begin the 2012-2013 season with two world premiere pieces by exciting, fresh choreographers that challenge our dancers while offering River North Dance Chicago audiences a completely new and stimulating experience, said artistic director Frank Chavez. By committing to new choreographers, we continue to fuel our dance community and create innovative, gutsy, and unique pieces that allow dancers to grow and test themselves in so many ways. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning arts management consultant and project manager, having worked at such prestigious institutions as the Auditorium Theater, Chicago Dancing Festival, Grant Park Music Festival, and Concert Dance, associate manager of the Ravinia Festival, former executive director of Hubbard Street Dance Chicago, Ruth Page Award winner, musician, teacher, one of the brightest stars in the world of arts management, and the executive director of River North Chicago Dance Company, now presenting their 2012-2013 fall engagement and celebrating Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary, November 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph, our good pal, Gail Calver. Calver, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
Always a pleasure, kiddo. And I know you're excited about the fall engagement coming up, and certainly a lot of things to celebrate, especially Frank's 20th anniversary. Good Lord, it seems like yesterday.
I know. And that means that the 10 years before is when he and I worked together at Hubbard Street. That's even worse. Except those were 10 great years, and Frank is just a terrific artistic director, so I'm celebrating as well.
I can't think of a better way to describe you, Gail, than stunningly athletic.
Well, I think River North and I are very compatible.
I know you're looking forward to the season, and there's so many new things coming out, too. And I think, have you seen over the years, and you have been involved in the dance and arts world for so many years, the evolution of things to this point that is just absolutely remarkable, but with more remarkable things to come?
Yes, I think it's been very interesting to watch River North evolve over the years. It started out as a jazz dance company and did works of Chicago choreographers and a lot of their dancers. And then when Frank got into the company, he really started broadening it. And, of course, his years with Hubbard Street connected him with some very interesting choreographers. And now jazz is one element, and it's one style we do. And a lot of our pieces are jazz-infused. But more than that, we really span the gamut of ballet to jazz to contemporary. So there's a little bit of everything in every performance. You kind of think that you're watching like a showcase of several different dance companies.
And I think that's what comes from the fact that the company is described as stunningly athletic and the choreography very theatrical. But you have to adapt to the music. You have to adapt to the time, certainly adapt to the shows that you're doing year in and year out.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And I think that's one of the strengths that we have, is that when you come watch a performance, every piece doesn't look alike. Every piece looks very different. So with the short attention span of the public today, I think we're well positioned to keep them riveted and engaged, you know, throughout the whole evening.
You know, you bring up a good point, Gail, and that's the short attention span of the public. Thinking along those lines, when you have someone who is, and you've seen it yourself, whether it's opera or whether it's Shakespearean theater or theater itself, people are somewhat intimidated coming. Well, I don't understand the language, or I don't understand what they're doing or what they're dancing, and all they really need to do is have a little backstory so they can enjoy the art of the particular production. But when someone is coming to River North Dance Chicago, they're going to come and enjoy themselves. How do they approach that? How should they come with an open mind so that they're not intimidated, so they see that the art of the dance is the expression by which they kind of connect with the audience?
Well, I think even our marketing pictures are very approachable. They look like people wearing clothes in really interesting, you know, movement, in movement positions. You can see that they're dancing or moving, but they look like real people. They don't look like they're on a pedestal far off. And when you come to see the company, it's very easily understood. It just is what it is. I would encourage people just to come, take a chance, sit there and enjoy. You don't have to know anything to enjoy it. You don't have to learn anything. You don't have to prepare. It's the kind of company that kind of reaches out and grabs you and brings you in. It pretty much, you know, you get what you see is what you get.
And I think one of the great adages you've always used is when the music starts, the heart responds.
Mm-hmm. And that's certainly Frank's aesthetic. He wants to bring out a range of emotions, whether you're entertained and it's humorous, or you're engaged because it's, you know, it's heart-wrenching, or because it's loving, or because it's very combative and challenging. It's just a range of emotions taking you on a journey from the beginning of the end of the program.
That's probably the best way to describe it, Gail. Is it's a musical journey of dance and music and enjoyment, and that's what you have to, and that's the way you have to approach it.
Right, right. And you really don't have to prepare. I think what it does is it raises questions after the audience sees it. They want to know more. They usually want to know more about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they get the idea to do this piece or that piece, and where did the costumes come from and the inspiration? But they never go out saying to themselves, I wonder what that meant.
Now, of course, Adam Baruch and Nayla Yatkin are two of the new choreographers. Tell us a little bit something about their productions.
Nayla, her work is first of all, it's a stunning solo for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I call it, it's a solo for a dress and a woman.
Mm.
Because the dress is an integral part of the dance, and the woman and the dress are like partners.
Oh.
It's done to one of the most famous operatic arias called Visi d'Arte from Tosca's Puccini.
Mm-hmm.
And most anyone who comes, you know, to see it will recognize the tune. And it's just enchanting and engrossing and riveting. It's just 8 minutes of sheer heaven.
And, of course, River North's own Jessica Wolfram will be dancing that.
Yes. This piece was just made for her. Nejla saw her and said that this is so ideal. And we're really reveling in Jessica's 11th year at the company.
Wow.
Last year was her 10th, and we were afraid maybe she would, you know, start thinking about retiring. We're so happy that she didn't, and she's so happy that she stayed, because this is her piece. It had her name on it.
And, of course, Nejla is the artist in residence at the University of Notre Dame for dance and culture.
Yeah, and she just won a very prestigious award in Chicago, the Three Arts Award.
Mm-hmm.
They gave to a woman choreographer, and she's just thrilled because she basically is a new resident of Chicago. She relocated here 2 years ago from New York City.
Interesting. Of course, Adam Baruch now, I Close My Eyes Until the End is his piece.
Yes, yes. And his is a more contemporary, it's one of those contemporary kind of an edgy work to electronic score, which I think is very, I think, familiar for younger audiences to listen to. So the sound kind of inspires the movement. And Adam made his Chicago debut through the Chicago Dancing Festival a few years ago and was a big hit. He did a scene from Sweeney Todd, and it was really engaging at the MCA. And so Frank saw his work, brought him in, and this is Adam's first major commission.
Wow.
So we're real excited to premiere him in Chicago on his first major work for a company.
And, of course, Robert Battle has some work for the program.
Robert Battle, we're doing his piece called Three. It's for three men. And as you know, Robert is the newly appointed artistic director of the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, which is going to be at the Auditorium Theater in March, I believe.
Right. And Frank's own Forbidden Boundaries and The Good Goodbyes.
Yes, yeah. Two beautiful works and very contrasting. The Good Goodbyes is a lyrical kind of a love song to all of the people that Frank has had relationships with over the years that have ended beautifully with good goodbyes. And then just the opposite, Forbidden Boundaries, is a piece that explores Frank's struggle and people's inward struggle to kind of tap those parts of them that are sometimes, you know, painful, and they prevent themselves from, like, moving ahead. And it's done in dance. There's solos and duets, and there is a really fantastic trio for two men and for a woman. And this is an both of these are original scores for the company. So he's exploring, you know, different emotions, which is very much Frank. And I think that they're both approachable. The Good Goodbyes is much more lyrical and flowing and balletic, and Forbidden Boundaries is just hard hitting and very confrontative, combative, with a resolution, and that gorgeous trio in the middle of it.
You know, we've talked over the years, and I know I've asked this question before, but for some of our new listeners, what comes first, Gail, the music or the dance? Does someone hear some music, or does Frank hear music, or you hear music and say, I'd like to put a dance to it? Or do you have a dance in mind, and then you figure out what kind of music will fit that particular dance?
Well, with Frank Chavez, the artistic director, the music always comes first, mm-hmm. and that's where he gets his inspiration. He says when he hears music that, you know, that he wants to choreograph for, it just comes to him. He cannot stop the mental images, and it kind of plays out in his imagination, and then he just kind of spits it out and puts it on the dancers. So it's the music that really inspires him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other choreographers are different. Some of them have a certain kind of movement in mind, and then they struggle to find music, or they'll ask a composer to create something original. But mostly, Frank, it's the inspiration that comes from the music, other than when he has a theme, like this piece, The Good Goodbyes. He had a theme and an idea. He wanted kind of a classical piece. He approached Josephine Lee. Josephine Lee is the artistic director of the Chicago Children's Choir,
mm-hmm.
and she's also a talented composer and pianist. And he said, Josephine, I have this idea in mind, and here's what I want. And they worked together to create this piece of music, especially for the piece. And Josephine's going to be playing live at the Harris Theater on both November 16 and 17.
That's great.
Most important part, Kevin, about the live performances, that I am going to be turning the pages at the piano.
Well, don't screw it up.
You said it. Amen.
You know, I have to, you know, you and I kid a lot, but I have to tell you, it's such a joy to have you on the show, because you are one of the premier people, as I said before in the introduction, in music and dance in Chicago, to promote music and promote dance to what it is today. And I know it's only going to get bigger and better. And if people haven't thanked you before, I certainly will thank you in front of everybody, because you certainly deserve the credit for what you've accomplished and what you've done for so many people, so many dancers, so many companies in and around the Chicagoland area.
Well, it's been a labor of love, I will tell you that.
Critically acclaimed for their athletic, sensual, and dynamic repertoire, River North Dance Chicago presents dynamic works that combine athletic prowess and artistic perspective with bold theatrical flair. Founded in 1989, River North is now under the leadership of Artistic Director Frank Chavez and Executive Director Gail Calver, who strive to demonstrate depth and sophistication with a commitment to creating an accessible, enriching experience for audiences. The company continues to make a name for themselves on the world stage, traveling throughout the country and internationally. Core works by Chavez are augmented with an array of pieces by nationally and internationally renowned choreographers, including Robert Battle, Sidra Bell, Lynn Taylor Corbett, Harrison McEldowney, Ashley Rowland, and former co-artistic director Sherry Zunker, among others. River North has been the subject of three Emmy Award-winning WTTW Chicago television specials. They have been heralded by the Chicago Sun-Times, stating, "This company has been dancing brilliantly for many seasons, but it rarely has looked better, and they continue to be a vital member of the Chicago community through their ongoing commitment to educational and artistic programming through dance." The critically acclaimed River North Dance Chicago leaps into fall with their November 15th, 16th, and 17th engagement, the Harris Theater, 205 East Randolph, including work by Adam Baruch and Nejla Yetkin, the company, including four new members, performed a program filled with stunning athleticism and theatrical choreography. In conjunction with the fall engagement, River North celebrates Artistic Director Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary with their Momentum 2012 gala, featuring a performance at the Harris, followed by a festive evening of cocktails, dinner, and dancing at the Fairmont Chicago 200 North Columbus on November 15th. On the line with us right now is the very talented and charming Gail Calver, the executive director of the River North Chicago Dance Company. Gail, maybe a phone number or a website if people like to get some information?
Yes. They can purchase tickets by calling the Harris Theater box office at 312-334-7777. That's the Harris Theater, 334-7777 in Chicago.
Well, always a pleasure, kiddo. Continued success. I hope to see you at the fall engagement. When the music starts, the heart responds.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Take care, Gail.
Bye.
Always a pleasure talking with Gail Calver, the executive director of River North Dance Chicago. What a terrific lady, and certainly, as I said before, responsible for a lot of success of dance in Chicago and all the different iterations that she's been involved in and places she's touched and young people that she's guided through the years. So for information, again, for their 2012-2013 fall engagement celebrating Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary, 312-334-7777. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guest, Melvin Abston, very talented Chicago actor, now starring in the Tony Award-nominated musical Sister Act at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, November 13th through December 2nd. And get out to see Melvin, because certainly a very talented guy, of star of stage, screen, and television. For information, 800-775-2000. I had a delightful chat with him. And, of course, our good pal Gail Calver, the executive director of River North Chicago Dance Company, now presenting their 2012-2013 fall engagement and celebrating Frank Chavez's 20th anniversary, November 15th, 16th, and 17th. At the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, 205 East Randolph. For information, 312-334-7777. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
You're sure your heart will fall apart each time you hear. Now or never, the more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. The best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose.